Okay, we are on Megillah Daf. That's the second one, base, no? Okay, we were in the middle of a discussion about what's more chamor, right? The Avodah, as in the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, or alternatively, Talmud Torah. The significance of that discussion was, right, that we tried to learn that since there is a halacha, it's halacha p'tuka, right? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says that the Kohanim, the Levim, and the Yisraelim, anybody who's doing anything in the Beis HaMikdash would stop and go to hear the Kriyas Megillah, right? So then, that seems to imply that Kriyas Megillah is, excuse me, is more important than the Avodah. So then it says, oh, maybe that'll mean that Kriyas Megillah, you should stop Talmud Torah for Kriyas Megillah as well. I said, maybe not. We see from this story from Sefer Yehoshua that in fact Talmud Torah is more chamor. Okay? Why? Because even though they were Mevatel, the Talmud Shal Ben Arabayim, and they were Mevatel Night Seder, the day before they conquered Yericho, and the Malach told them that he came out to them to get them in trouble for the fact that they cancelled Night Seder, not for the fact that they cancelled the Talmud Shal Ben Arabayim. Okay? So it says, V'amar Rav Shmuel Bar Onya, Shmuel Bar Onya says, Gadol Talmud Torah Yosim Akravas Tumidim. Talmud Torah is more important than being makrived and sacrificing the Korban Tamid. Right, the Korban Tamid was the most important sacrifice in Beis HaMikdash, so that means it's more important than Korbanos in general. Shneimar, Atabasi, same from the same pasuk, right? I came now when you didn't learn at night, not when you didn't bring the Korban, implying it was more of a problem they didn't learn at night. Lukash, no, that's not a problem. Hadirabim, Hadiyachid. There's a difference between Talmud Torah of a lot of people together and Talmud Torah of one person. By Talmud Torah of a lot of people, that's more than the Korban Talmud. Talmud Torah of only one person, that'd be less. Okay? And it says that the Yachid Kal, is it really true that the Talmud Torah of only one person is so unimportant? Right, Vasnana, we have a Mishnah that says, Nashim b'moed me'anois, avaloi me'tapchois. Right, the women during kol ha'moed, right, could do a me'anois, means they did a hesped. They could eulogize somebody who died, who was close to them. Right, however, they wouldn't strike themselves on the chest in mourning. Yeah, there were a number of things. They'd scream, they'd pull their hair, whatever. So there's a limit on what they're allowed to do in Chol HaMoed. But as a Chol HaMoed, there is a mitzvah of simcha, there's a mitzvah to be happy. Right? And you can't. Mourning obviously stands in contradiction to that mitzvah. So therefore, the idea is that it's whatever mourning practices you take on can only go so far. Okay? Rabbi Shmuel said, if they were right next to the bed when the person died, then they could even strike themselves on the chest. They could have a much higher level of mourning. Right? Beroshei Chadashim, on Rosh Chodesh, Bechanukah, on Chanukah, Uve, Purim, and on Purim. Right? Me'anois u'metabchois bezeh v'zeh. Then they could eulogize. Right? And they could strike themselves on the chest. However, they couldn't be makonin. Okay. The difference is that in Inui, they would basically all start saying things about the person who died together. Right? And when they were Mekoinein, that means one of them would say something and they'd all answer. That they couldn't do. That they couldn't do on Rosh Chodesh, on Chanukah, on Purim. V'ama Rabba Bar-Huna, and Rabba Bar-Huna said, Ein Moed Bifnei Talmud Chacham. When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, then they were allowed to do whatever they want. Any morning practices they want, they can do in Chol HaMoed because of Talmud Chacham, which tells you that even a single person learning Torah is very, very, very important, right? If that allows you to violate the mitzvah of Simcha on Chol HaMoed. Yeah? Everybody understands? So it says, right? The Kol Shekein Chanukah and Purim, and then it's a straight Kol HaChomer on that to say that they would be able to do these things on Chanukah and Purim, right? Obviously, if they can do it in Chol HaMoed when the mitzvah of Simcha is Deraisa, they will be able to do so on Chanukah and Purim when the mitzvah of Simcha is only Derabanan. So the Gemara says, Kvod Torah Kamras, Kvod Torah the Yachid Kamar, Talmud Torah the Yachid Kal. That isn't the single person learning. That's the honor of Torah. Right? When it comes to the honor of Torah, that, even for a single person, is a very serious thing. It has to be taken very, very seriously. That doesn't mean that a single person's learning... I mean, it's a serious thing. It's an important mitzvah. Talmud Torah, Rabbi Neged Kulam, Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah. And so that doesn't mean that a single person's learning is comparable to lots of people learning together. Lots of people learning together is more chamor than avodah. A single person learning, that's less chamor than avodah. Okay? Everybody understands?
And honoring a Talmid Chacham versus a lot of people learning?
So it's a Gemara in Silvay's Pashtos that honoring a Talmid Chacham is more important. Right? The Gemara says that when it comes to a Talmid Chacham, that when it comes to us, when a Jew dies, then 600,000 people should come to his funeral because. Just as when it's given, it's taken away. Then it says, in the Talmud Chacham, it's 1.2 million people should come to the funeral. Right? And if it's a Talmud Chacham, then Ein Lisar, then it's even more than that. Right? That implies that everybody should chop for Talmud Chacham. The Maitre have only been on one funeral, whatever, more than 600,000 people, but later. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rava said, Pshita li avoida o mikra migila adif. Rava says, it's obvious that when it comes to avoida, doing bringing korbanos and making mikdash versus reading the Megillah, it's more important to read the Megillah. Midi Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Right? What we've been talking up until now about Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. Talmud Torah, mikra migila adif, midi sab chushel beis Rebbe. If it's Megillah versus learning Torah, right, sitting in Seder, again, Megillah is more important. How do I know? Says Rava, because in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's Beis Midrash, they would stop learning to hear the Megillah based on this halacha about Korbanos. Remember, we learned the halacha for Korbanos. Right? Talmud Torah meets mitzvah. What about Talmud Torah and say if you does anybody know what meets mitzvah is? Somebody on his phone?
If a dead person is down between two cities and no city
clean. That's you're getting mixed up with their goral, so it's related. Oh, yeah, right? If a dead person is found somewhere, right, and there's nobody currently dealing with it, but he doesn't have any relatives who can currently right now deal with burying him. Then it becomes an obligation, min ha-Torah, on absolutely anybody who finds that dead body to bury it. Right? So it's saying, if I'm in the middle of learning and I come in contact with a meis mitzvah, with a body that has nobody to bury it, meis mitzvah adif, the meis mitzvah is more important. I should stop learning to bury the dead body. Midasanya, as says the Braisa, mevatlin Talmud Torah lohitzas meis, ulachnasas kala. Right? We stop learning Torah for the purpose of burying a dead body, or to help a woman get married. Right, we have a Bryce that says that. So you can see that Talmud Torah is less important than burying dead bodies. Excuse me. Avoda or meis mitzvah. If there's a clash between bringing a korban and helping a meis mitzvah, and the case when there would be a clash between bringing a korban and meis mitzvah is one of two cases. Either somebody's going to bring a korban Pesach, and obviously that has to be done by a specific time, and he comes to contact with the Meitz Mitzvah, so you should deal with the Meitz Mitzvah instead of bringing the Korban Pesach. Or alternatively, it's a Kohen. Right? A Kohen will be Mitame, even a Kohen Gadol will be Mitame to bury a Meitz Mitzvah, even though it's also for a Kohen normally to come into contact with a dead body. Yeah? So avoid a Meitz Mitzvah Adif, then a Meitz Mitzvah again will be able to win out. From why? Because the Pasuk says, Mila Achaisoi. Okay, let's read the full Pasuk. The Pasuk in Nasi says, about the Kohen Gadol, La'aviv uleimo, he should not become tamei to his father or to his mother, La'achiv, to his brother, Ula'achisoya, lo yitama, Re'yotama, he should not become tamei, Lahem ben moisam, to them when they die, Ki nezer lehavar rishoy, because the anointment of God, the anointing oil of God, is on his head. Right, that's a description of Kohen Gadol. Right, so we have a drasha from the word la'achisoi, we'll see in a second. The sign is we have a brisa, v'la'achisoi ma'tol noimara. Why does the pasuk need to tell us that he becomes tamei even for his sister? Why is that necessary? Harei sh'ayaholeich lishkodes pisvev l'amol v'nes b'noi. If he was going to shech to korban Pesach, or to perform a bris milah for his son, right? Note, the bris milah and korban Pesach are the two mitzvahs asei that have an isra koris attached to them, right? If somebody dies without a bris milah, then they are, that's an isra koris. And if somebody does not bring a korban Pesach, at least deliberately, that is an isra koris. Right? So talking about the most serious mitzvahs, actually. He's on the way to perform those mitzvot. V'shama shemeis lo meis. And then he saw that he heard that he that one of his relatives has died. One of the seven relatives he's meant to become tummy for has died. Yachol itama. Maybe he should become tummy for them, the Kohen Gadol. Amras. Lo itama. No, the parasuk said he shouldn't become tummy for any of his relatives. A regular Kohen can become tummy for his seven relatives. A Kohen Gadol, not even that. Right? A Kohen Gadol should not become a tummy. Tummy should not come into contact with any dead body except for a meis mitzvah. So maybe you would think that just like he doesn't become tummy for his sister or for any of the other seven relatives, right? Who are his father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, or wife, right? He should not become tummy to a meis mitzvah, to a body that's found without anybody to bury it, and he's the only one who can do it. That's why the apostle goes out of his way to say to his sister he should not become tummy. He wouldn't become tummy for his sister, right? Even if she's not married, even if she doesn't have a husband to bury her, right? She has no other family. He won't become tummy to her, but he will become tummy to a meis mitzvah, right? That's a Kohen Gadol. Obviously, this prohibition of a Kohen Gadol becoming tummy is the most serious prohibition there is in terms of various people becoming tummy or meis. Right? Does anybody know who are the other two people that can become tamil, that who are prohibited from becoming tamil mates in general? Very good. Nazir or a regular coin, not a coin gadol. Right? Any other coin? Right? This is why coins shouldn't enter cemeteries. Okay. Ba'i Rava asked. Mikra Megillah Meis Mitzvah Haiminai Odev. What if I have a clash between I'm going to hear the Megillah being read and I come across a dead body? What should I do? Mikra Megillah Adif Mishum Pirsumi Nisa. Maybe you'll say that Mikra Megillah is a more important mitzvah because it publicizes a very great miracle. Right? Odilma, maybe Meis Mitzvah Adif Mishum Kvoid Abrios. Meis mitzvah is a more serious mitzvah. It's a more important mitzvah because you're meant to give honor to, you know, people, right? We're meant to honor other human beings, and the ultimate way you can do that is by burying them if they die and there's nobody to bury them. Baster de vayahara pashta. After he asked the question, he answered it. Meis mitzvah adif. You should stop. You should not go to bury to hear Megillah if you come across a dead body. You should stop to bury the dead body. Damar amar because we have in the brisa. Godal cover abrius to take a less lesas heben v'torah. Covered abrius, honoring other human beings is so important. It even allows you to violate a negative commandment in the Torah. Okay, that line requires explanation. We're going to stop and talk about it for a second. What does it mean you can violate commandments in the Torah for the purposes of honoring people? Firstly, it means that we're not talking about somebody being upset, right? We're talking about a really, really serious infringement on Kavod HaBriyos. So leaving a dead body just rotting in the street, that's very, very bad, right? Somebody getting a little bit upset or a bit impatient or something, that's different, okay? Right, this halacha doesn't have that many applications. Secondly, the Gemara in Brachos limits it. It's not talking about any loisasa. It's not talking about any negative commandment in Torah. It's talking about specifically lav de loisasa, the prohibition that says that you have to listen to Chazal. Right? Meaning, which commandment is it talking about? It's talking about mitzvahs derabanan. It says, a covet of brias will only lie to violate mitzvahs derabanan, not mitzvahs deraisa. There is a little bit of a question in Rishonim, can you violate a mitzvah aseh and not a mitzvah loisasa? I don't want to get into the details of the halacha right now, but if you're ever in a situation where you really, really think this is necessary, you should ask a shaila, right? But like I said, as I can tell you off the bat, it's very, very, very unusual. Okay, tough. Hey, let's continue. Gufa. Go back to talking about something we already talked about. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, krach v'chol samachoy, v'chol anire imoy nidoin kekrach. A walled city, krach v'chol samachoy v'chol anire imoy, right? And anything which can be seen, any place from where you can see that walled city, right, will be treated like that walled city. Tana, the Braisa says, samuch afal pish eino nire afal pish eino samuch. If it's next to the city, even if you can't see it, let's say there's a mountain in the middle, but it's less than a mil away, you would read with the krach on Tesvav, on the 15th of Adar, and not on the 14th, right? Similarly, if you can see the krach, but you're nowhere near it, then you would read with the craft on the 15th and not on the 14th. But either one of those is sufficient. It's sufficient to allow you to read on the 15th with the craft. Yeah. So it says, "Bishlama nira afal pishenu samuch mishkachos like going to yatzva beroisha harela." The Gemara says, I cannot imagine a case where you can see a city, but you're nowhere near it. If you're on top of the city, on top of a mountain, the city is not, or the city is on top of a mountain, you are not, then you'll be able to see a city, even though you're nowhere near it. Right? Ella, but what about a case? How can you imagine a case where you're right next to the city, but you can't see it? What could that be? Abba Rabbi Yirbi Rabbi Yirbi said, she is Shebes the Nachal. The case must be that the krach, the city, is sitting in a nachal, sitting in a valley that's made. Literally means a river. Here it means Rashi points out. It really means a valley. The point is that the krach is sitting in some sort of depression in the ground, and therefore you can't necessarily see it unless you're literally right next door, right? So what it means, you know, usually valleys are caused by rivers. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi also said krach sheyoshav levasoif hukav nidoin kekrar. Right, a city which existed in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, but it didn't have walls, and they built walls around it later, will be treated as a kfar, as a village, and they'll read on the 14th, not on the 15th. My time. What's the reason? Dichtiv and says veishkiim kor beis meishav irchema shehukav. The pasuk says when somebody there's different rules about selling land in Eretz Yisrael, right? There's different rules about selling land in Eretz Yisrael and how you can buy that land back. If you sell farmland, then what's the rule? How long do you have to buy it back? Until the yovel, right? The yovel, whenever the yovel will be, if the yovel happens once every 50 years, we don't do the yovel anymore, but we don't have most of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have the Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael, but theoretically, if most of the Jews were in Eretz Yisrael, and if all the Shvatim were in the right place in Eretz Yisrael, then we would do the yovel, right? And that would be that every 50 years, you have until that 50th year to buy your land back. If you don't, then it simply comes back to you automatically anyway. Right? Anyway. If we're talking about a house in a city which has no walls, then the rule is just like farmland. It's treated as it'll come back by the 50th year, right? If you buy it back, right? If you don't buy it back, then you'll just simply return your property automatically. How about a house in a walled city? You have a year to buy it back, in which case you have the right to buy it back, and they cannot stop you. And if after a year you do not buy it back, you lose it forever. What? That's what the Torah says. There is pasuk, the Torah says that explicitly. Okay. We treat the land outside of walled cities as being basically ancestral land. But it's land that belongs to the shevet, it belongs to the tribe, it belongs to the family, and therefore you don't really have the right to sell it off permanently. The land cannot be sold permanently. I'll get to your question in a minute. When it comes to land in a walled city, that's not viewed as ancestral land, it's viewed as your personal land, so you can alienate it if you want to.
Would that be any different if you can prove your ancestral lineage to the shevet?
You mean a land in a walled city?
Yeah.
No, that's what I was just saying. There is that we view the walled cities as not belonging to any particular shevet.
And outside the city, would that change anything?
If it was outside the city, then yeah, you can buy it. You have until the yovel to get it back. And if you don't buy it back at the yovel, it comes back to you anyway. Right? Because your ancestral land, you don't actually have the right to sell it. So, let's see. Right? Fine. Those are the rules. By the way, there are other things that are dependent on this question. For example, cities that have walls, you can eat Maizah Sheni in them, that have walls from the time Yoshua Ben Nun. Right? It's not only... Lamaiseh, this is on Yerushalayim, but theoretically it could be other cities as well. Okay. Right. The case when a city is considered to be a walled city is when the walls were built before the city was settled. The walls already existed and then people settled in a city, meaning the walls existed, and then they settled in a city, right, at the time of the conquest. Right, but if they settled in a city at the time of the conquest and then built walls afterwards, that doesn't count. I've really had a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi also said... Krach, Shane, boy. Oh, sorry. So that is the proof that when we talk about a walled city, we mean a walled city from the time of the conquest. Not a city whose walls were built afterwards, even if it existed at the time of the conquest already without walls. Eh? That's a krach. Vamar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Krach Shein Boya, sorry, but Lanim Nidan Kfar, a krach, a walled city, which doesn't have 10 people who are sitting around doing nothing, at least 10 people who do nothing, right, will be treated as a kfar, it will be treated as a village, and they'll read the Megillah on the 14th and not on the 15th. Right, what are these people sitting around doing nothing actually doing? What? Close. They're always there for Binyan, and what do they do when they're not davening? They're in daven all day. What? Very good. 10 people who spend their whole day there, they have a yeshiva with 10 people learning. A city which does not have a yeshiva with at least 10 people learning in it, who are there always to make a minyan, that city will not be. It's not a big city, that's a tiny city. Even if it has walls, it's really just a small city. Okay? Anyway, it should be noted as just Tahara. The Rav Zikatadik Racha had a very, very beautiful drasha, where he said that if there's not a city of Jews which doesn't have a community of learning and davening, that's not really a city of Jews. That's the way he learned that Gemara. Hey, Maika Mashmalam, what do we learn from that? Neina, we have a Braisa. The Mishnah said that what is a big city? The city which has 10 batlanim, 10 people who are sitting around not working. Less than that, Harei Zekvar. It'll be, if it's less people than that, it'll be a village and not a city. Krach is the replay. Right? We needed to talk about the krach of our city with walls. Afal gav de mikla'e le me alma. We're talking about even if there are people who come from outside the city. Meaning, usually if you have a big city, it's going to have suburbs all around it. Right? It's going to have all these villages around them. People are coming in basically every day. So even if they have 10 people hanging around in the shul every single day, that's not enough. They have to actually be people who live there. Right, that's the point of this statement. That's what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was adding to what we already had from the Mishnah. Okay?
What does it mean to make Lai Ma'alma?
Even if they came from outside. Ma'alma means from the world, from outside the city. Right, they came from the villages surrounding the city. They came to learn in the shul in the city. That's not good enough. They have to actually live in the city. Miklai means literally come. V'amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi also said, Krach shecharav la'sof yashav. You don't krach. If there was a city which has walls. Therefore you should read on the 15th, right? And then it was destroyed, and nobody lived there. No walls, no people, no garnished, right? And then it was rebuilt. It'll be treated as a city with walls. You'll read on the 15th.
Yes,
the walls would have to be rebuilt as well. Right, it won't be a walled city unless it currently has walls, even if it could have been theoretically. And the Gemara says, "My charav, what does it mean? It was destroyed." So it says, if you were to say that just the walls were broken down, then that would mean. Then wouldn't that mean that the walls were broken down, then you would. If the walls still existed, you would read on the 15th. If the walls did not exist anymore, you wouldn't read. That's what we just said, right? Now, finally, we have a Braisa that has a problem with that. Rabbi Eliezer, maybe I got mixed up. Maybe, we'll see. Rabbi Eliezer, Bar Yosi said, Rabbi Eliezer, son of Yosi, said, Asher loichem af al pisha in loyachsha, vayalem kodin lochen. Oh, my apologies. Right. It's the Pasuk says, Asher loichem af, about the city. A walled city is a city described as a city which has walls. But if you look at the word in the Gemara, lo, right, it has walls. The word lo is spelled with an aleph at the end. Now, Lamed Aleph means, in Hebrew, no, right? It doesn't mean his, it means no. So it's Drash, Asher Loichema, right? Even if it doesn't have walls now, but it has walls then, you can read the Megillah on the 15th. And my apologies for my confusion, sorry? Yes, it is. Thank you. Shkoyach. You're about here, right? Ella rather, my chorev. Right, what does that mean? It was destroyed. Shechor.
What
do
you ask? What is the phrase yashav in lo?
Yashav in. Yashav yes. Lo yashav lo. It means that. Wouldn't that mean that if it was settled, if the walls existed, you would read on the 15th, and if not, you would read on the 14th? Right, that word in. That's not ein, that's in. It means yes in Aramaic. Okay? Right. So it says, Ella rod, my chorev. What does chorev really mean? What does it mean that it was destroyed? It lost its 10 people who just sit around all day and daven and learn. Like that, if it lost those 10 people, you can still read on the 15th. Yeah? Sorry. If it lost those 10 people, you can't read on the 15th. My bad. Right? But you can, but if it loses its walls, you can still read on the 15th. Top, we will continue, please God, tomorrow. Okay. Shkoyach, gentlemen.